It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Following the introduction by Dr. Bob Jones III, our speaker will be Evangelist Charles Bray. The title of his message is, We Don't Have to Be Afraid. The text is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18.
It's wonderful to have Dr. Bray back here. He and my father were very good, close friends. He and Dr. Barton were classmates, along with Dr. Gustafson, and for a number of years our paths did not cross with him, and lately I've been greatly refreshed and privileged to be in his company again, and I'm so glad that he and Mrs. Bray could be here. Mrs. Bray recently was a transplant recipient and is doing well, and we prayed a lot for her, and it's just a special joy to see her doing well and here and able to be with us. Before he comes, let me thank all of you who took part in the Thanksgiving activities in the oratorio, in the wonderful play, in the ball game, in the support that was necessary for all the ongoing activities during Thanksgiving time. Many of you worked awfully hard. Thank you from the bottom of our heart. We had the most wonderful response from our guests who were here that I can ever remember at Thanksgiving. And we miss those of you who were not able to be here, but I hope you, while you were at home, I know you had a wonderful time of Thanksgiving with your families. Welcome back. Please put your nose to the grindstone from here till the end of the school year. A few days only remain, and a lot of your success at the end of the semester depends upon making good use of your time and being diligent in these few remaining days. Lots of projects ahead, a pressure time for you. We're praying hard for you, and Do well. Be diligent. Dr. Bray, will you come? We're so thankful to have you here.
I'm so glad you came back today. I was afraid I might have driven you away. Anyway, it's wonderful to be here, and we've had a fantastic time. It's always good to be back home, as I told you yesterday. And I hope that it won't be as long when we come back again. I received two wonderful letters before I came here when they booked the chapel service. One was from Dr. Barton, and I mentioned that to you, and the other one was from Dr. Bob. And he mentioned something about flight plans, but he doesn't know this. I don't like to fly. I fly, in fact, I'll even go to sleep on a plane, but I don't like to fly. I sit right next to the motor and dare it to quit. But anyway, I had a flight recently that was a terrible experience. I walked up to the ticket counter and put down three bags. And the girl started to check them. I said, I want one bag to go to Los Angeles, one to go to Miami, and one to go to New York. She said, we can't do that. I said, you did it last month. And then, oh, you got that. Oh, I'm so glad. And then as we're going out on the tarmac, everything is all right until the pilot shows up wearing a parachute. Now, when that happens, you know he knows something that you don't know. Got on the plane, and it was terrible. The flight was so rough that they served the food directly into the bag. When the weather finally calmed down, they served the food. The meat was so rare, with a little attention, it could have recovered. Then while we were flying, this little brat kid, you know, there's always kids on a plane that drive me crazy. This little brat was running up and down the aisle, knocking everybody's drinks around and knocking the newspapers out of your hand. We were 30,000 feet up. I stopped the little brat and said, son, wouldn't you like to go outside and play? Now, his mother was right ahead of me, and she didn't appreciate that at all. And I said, well, you could join him. So I'm not the best flyer. I fly because I have to. But then on the other hand, I have a little bit of trouble driving. My wife is from the Philippines, as I told you. And if you have ever been in the Philippines, they are the worst drivers in the world. Filipinos do not drive automobiles. They aim them and honk their horn. We were coming down from our summer home in Canada to go to our winter home in Florida one night. And it was pretty late at night, and I was taking a nap. And I finally woke up and Marin was driving. I said, "Where are we?" "Oh," she said, "we're getting close to town." I said, "Well, how do you know?" She said, "I'm hitting more people all the time." We have another friend that's a Filipino driver, is awful. Policeman stopped him to give him a ticket recently. He said to the policeman, "You can't give me a ticket. I don't have a driver's license." And the worst one was this Filipino friend who went to a stock meeting one night. He was a member of a stock club. And he was coming home pretty late. So he called his wife. He said, "You've got to come after me. They've broken into the car. They've stolen the dash, the radio, the steering wheel. They've stolen everything." She said, "No problem. I'll get dressed and I'll come after you in the other car." She got to the front door, and just as she opened it to leave, the phone rang again. She picked up the phone, said, "Hello." He said, "It's me again. You don't have to come after me." She said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "I got in the back seat by mistake." Now, I told you yesterday that I used to die for good chapel speakers with a sense of humor. So I tried to give you a little bit this morning. Now, we're going to speak to you on a very brief passage, but it's a beautiful one. In the book of Revelation, it says in chapter 1:18, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death." I want to speak to you this morning on fear. Now, there are all kinds of definitions for fear. One that I heard was, real fear is when you're just going under anesthesia and you hear the nurse say, "Good luck, doctor, on your first operation." There's all kinds of fears. But this scripture says to us that through faith in Christ, we don't have to be afraid of the past, we don't have to be afraid of the present, and we don't have to be afraid of the future. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll take care of our past, He will provide our present, and take care of us in the future. Now, in the Bible, it mentions the fact that the eternal God is our dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Jesus declares that if we trust and have faith in Him, we don't have to be afraid of our past, our present, or our future. Fear is pandemic to the human race. Each of us is afraid of something. And as I talk to you about this, let's go into, first of all, we don't have to be afraid of the past. Many people are paralyzed by the past. Many of us have suffered misfortunes in the past, and they've left us scarred and troubled, wounded. And some people can't seem to forget the past. Hurts of childhood, things that happened to us in childhood that we never forget. When my little girl was about 6 or 7, up in Canada going to school, she had one little girl that just was her enemy, just didn't like her. And she kept pushing her down the snow every day after school. And finally, one day, I found Sharon crying. And I said, "What's the matter, honey?" She said, "That girl pushed me in the snowbank again." And I picked her up and put her in my lap and began to wipe the tears away. And she looked up to me with those beautiful little eyes and said, "Dad, it's tough to be little. You know, it's tough to be little." And each and every one of you probably remembers some traumatic, some sad experience when you were a child. Broken homes cause a lot of tragedy in the past. Some of you come from broken homes. And it's hard to get over that. The scars of the broken home is a tragedy in the life of a lot of young people. I've often made the statement that one of the worst forms of child abuse is the divorce court, where lawyers battle for the money alone, not to try to reconcile people, but to try to separate them in anger. I have awful memories of that myself. My parents were divorced when I was 11 years old. Things have changed since I was 11 in 1939. You know how I found out? My brother was 3 years older. He and I were playing. We were living in Florida at the time. He and I were playing in a field, and a sheriff's car drove up. Two sheriffs walked out, and we wondered what we had done wrong. They walked up to us and said, "Boys, are you Charles Bray? Are you Steve Bray?" We said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, we just want you to know that your parents are divorcing. Who do you want to live with?" Isn't that an awful way to learn of a parent's divorce? Tears came to my eyes, and I said, "I want to stay with my dad. I was a daddy's boy." The other two children went with my mom. But what an awful, awful experience. I wondered what I had done wrong. Had I caused them to part? And anybody that knows anything about divorce will tell you the greatest tragedy is within the heart of the child. He feels he is to blame when actually he had nothing whatsoever to do with it. If you're from a broken home, don't let that scar your future. God knows your hurt. God even knows your anger. And He can bless you and remove that from you and give you victory over it. You don't have to be afraid of the past. When I was 14, I was born and reared in Detroit, but lived in Florida for a while. I've lived in 7 states, so I'm all over the place. But when I was 14, just starting high school, I had an awful experience that has stayed with me all my life. I had a biology teacher. She hated kids and loved cats. Every day, she'd pick up an old stray cat and bring it to school. Mangy, filthy, ugly cat. And set it on her desk and feed it milk. I can still hear those cats slurping milk. I've hated cats all my life. Now, I'm allergic to cats. So you cat lovers, please, don't tune me out. I've hated cats all my life. I've never understood why Noah had to put 2 of them on the ark. But I'm allergic to them. I go to a hospital. I can be in a home with a cat for 30 minutes and I'm in the hospital. We're talking about Noah, not only cats. I wonder, when I look at the condition of the world, I sometimes wish that Noah had missed the boat. But this woman was awful. She was a mean old lady, biology teacher. See how I remember? Can't even forget her. And she had a habit. After you'd been in her class for 2 weeks, she would go through the class and she'd pick out what she thought was going to be her best students. And she'd put them on the front row. And she would put the rest of us in the back, and the ones that she didn't like at all, she put in the back. And that's where Charles Bray landed. Then she had a terrible habit. They wouldn't allow this today, but things were different back then. She would go through the front row and predict what her favorite students were going to be. Johnny's going to be a lawyer, and Jim's going to be a doctor, and Susie's going to be a head nurse. And by the time she got to the back of the room, there were no good jobs left. And then she'd look at me and chuckle, and she'd say, "And Chuck is going to be our garbage collector." The kids would laugh and they would jeer, and my heart was broken. Tears would well in my eyes, my little lips would quiver. 14-year-old kid. And I'd take a deep breath and I'd grit my teeth and I'd say, "You old bat, I'll show you." Now, I cleaned that up. It wasn't old bat I was talking. Now, I wasn't saved then, so you can forgive me. I never forgot her. And that gave me an impetus, if nothing else did in my young educational life, to do something with my life, to be something. I was going to show her. She was wrong about me. Now, let me hasten to say there's nothing wrong with being a garbage collector. I don't mean to imply that. In fact, in our town in Florida, they make more than some lawyers do. But they deserve it too. But that was a scar on me. I never have forgotten it. When I received my master's in education, I remembered that teacher. And I whispered, "So there." When I received my master's in history, I remembered that teacher. And I whispered, "I told you so." Oh, you've had scars of the past. And that's caused you all kinds of fear. But remember, God loves you. And God can take the hurt away. God can take the pain away. He took the pain away of that experience. Because I used that stumbling stone as a stepping stone. And if any one thing gave me the fire to fight in life, it was that experience in that classroom. I had another great teacher in that same year. His name was Peter Marks from Greece. And he taught me my first love of history. I never lost that love, but his was a positive influence. We don't have to be afraid of the past. Jesus is the Lord of the past, and He can cure that past. Then the Bible says we don't have to be afraid of the sins of the past. There are many of you who are still grieving over the past. But you must remember, every sin that you ever committed is under the cleansing blood of Christ. Why should you punish yourself over sins of the past which God has long ago forgiven you? Don't grieve over the past. The Lord says something wonderful in the Bible. He says, "I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more." That is absolutely beautiful. God says, "I'll not only forgive your sins, I will blot them from my memory." We can't do that. We can forgive somebody, but you can't forget it. Tiger Woods, the great golfer, and I mean great. I golf, but I don't know what game I'm playing when I watch him play. I'm sure I'm in a different world. But Tiger Woods had a slur said against him in one of the tournaments. A minor thing, but it was partially racial. And on an interview on the network after that incident, the man that had said it was really not that serious, but it was a slur. The man that said it apologized. He said, "I really didn't mean it like it sounded." And then later on, the news media, as normal, wouldn't let it go. They had to keep on trying to create problems on the golf circuit. One reporter finally said to Tiger Woods, "Have you forgiven him yet?" He said, "Oh yes, I forgave him right away when he asked me to. But," he says, "I won't forget." When I heard him say that, I said to myself, I'm glad God's not like that. The Bible says God not only forgives, but He forgets. I don't know how God's attribute allows Him to forget, but He does that. You don't have any right to continue to browbeat yourself over the sins of the past which God has forgiven and forgotten. They're under the blood, never to surface against you anymore. Trust it. Believe it. Don't punish yourself any further. And then that beautiful hymn says, and I love it, that hymn says, "He breaks the power of canceled sin and sets the prisoner free." The forgiveness of Christ breaks the power of canceled sin. God took your account and long ago cleansed it under the blood of Christ. And through His atoning sacrifice, He has canceled and stamped your certificate paid in full. And then the Bible says we don't have to be afraid of the present. We don't have to be afraid. I taught as a professor of history and theology for a number of years in Canada. And I know the look of the sadness on the face of students who are scared to death in school. It's not easy for some students to go to school, to college and university. It's a traumatic experience. Many of you are not sure yet what you're going to be. That causes concern and a little bit of fear. But let me assure you, while you're here, do the best you can in the subjects and the fields of study that you're in. God will lead you as to what He wants you to be. He will open the door that He wants you to go through. But that often causes quite a bit of fear. Be patient with yourself. The Lord in His own time will lead you in the path He wishes you to follow. Stay in university. Fight the battle. Finish the course. And God will give you the task He wants you to fulfill. Now, a lot of young people in college and university especially, I can remember this very vividly, are scared to death of grades. I used to hate exams. I had to study for everything I got. I had a roommate that made me ill. He'd sleep all through class, wouldn't study for exam, and made straight A's. I hated him. Not really. I had to study hard. I had to dig for everything I got because I didn't have the background to come to university. I went to 4 different high schools in 3 different states. Never had a chance to make friendships or learn teachers. Oh, it was awful hard. And I didn't know how to study till I got to Bob Jones. And they didn't help me. When I came to Bob Jones the first year I came, they didn't help me a bit. The first thing they did was make me take 2 foreign languages, Spanish and English. I didn't know English any better than I did Spanish. But I had the best Spanish professor. He tutored me on the side, helped me on the side to get me through that first year. It was awful. But then as I look at my transcript, and don't you dare pull it, whoever's responsible for it, I could see the grades going better and better and better and better. Oh, I was afraid. Don't become inflicted with grade-itis. God didn't give everyone the same intellect, the same IQ. Don't become afflicted with grade-itis. You heard the story of the high school student that got his report card and had solid F's. Boy, he had to go home with that. He goes home and his father's sitting there reading the newspaper. He plops the report card on his father's paper and he sees the blood rising in his father. Just before he exploded, the kid said, "Dad, can you explain that report card? Is that heredity or environment?" Don't be afflicted by grade-itis. Do the best you can. Make the grades you can. But don't be afraid of the present. Then God says, don't you have to be afraid of the future. You don't have to be afraid of the future. I'd only been saved a year when I entered Bob Jones University. I knew nothing of the rudiments of Christianity. But one night in a little town in Reidsville, North Carolina, where my grandparents lived, I was taken to hear Dr. Mordecai Ham, one of the greatest evangelists and Bible teachers that ever lived. I was only 17. Dr. Ham, if I remember, was a tall man, a wonderful, beautiful gray hair, and he had to be 85 approximately at that time. And I remember they took me to shake his hand. They told him, this young man is going to university to become a minister. And Dr. Ham put his arm around my shoulder and encouraged me. I told him where I was going and he loved that. And he finally said, I'd like to sign your Bible. So I handed him my Bible and he signed that. And the verse that he signed after his name was, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He knew that I was afraid of the future as well. He knew I wasn't sure how I was going to get through school. But by the grace of God, I came to Bob Jones and found the greatest place in the world to study. I literally preached my way through school. I preached everywhere. Pool halls in Spartanburg, street meetings on Morgan's in North Carolina, everywhere I would preach. I preached my way through. But you don't have to be afraid of the future. You don't have to be afraid. God is the God of the future. And He is going to take care of you. When I was a little child at 11 years old, when the tragedy of my family took place, they sent me to live with a grandmother. And one day in North Carolina, at my grandmother's place, I picked up her Bible. I don't know what made me do it. I just did. And I came to a verse in the Psalms that said, "When thy father and mother forsake you, then I will take you up." I began to squall. I jumped up, ran to my mother, my grandmother, scared to death, crying. She put me in her lap and comforted me. She said, "What, Chuck, why are you crying so mad?" I said, "God's going to kill me. Bible says God's going to kill me." She said, "What in the world are you talking about? It says in there, when my father and mother forsakes me, then He's going to take me up." She said, "It doesn't mean God's going to kill you. It means He's going to take care of you. He's going to take you under His wing. He's going to protect you." And I learned then that if I had a trust in the Lord, I would not have to be afraid of the future. The future is God's. The future is His. And our trust must be in the Christ of yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. He'll never change. And He will never forsake you. Young people, let me urge you to remember in all your trials and all your troubles and tribulations, all the testings, that He loves you far more than you know. He died because He loves you so. He gave up His throne just to make you His own. He loves you far more than you know. No, you don't have to be afraid of the past. You don't have to be afraid of the present. You don't have to be afraid of the future. May God bless you. He loves you. Shall we pray? Father, for Your love, for Your care, we give Thee thanks. Oh, so long ago, You wiped our tears from our eyes. So long ago, You mended hurts and scars that didn't seem to want to heal. But give to each one of these students the power to overcome those past things. The courage to face the present. The faith to look toward the future. Help them not to be afraid, but to know that You love them and care. Use them mightily. Bless them as they study. Give them the victories they need in their lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Evangelist Charles Bray. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6.50 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.